Good evening, everybody. We thank you for coming out on this evening to hear the Word of God once again. If you have your Bible with you, we'd like you to turn, first of all, to Judges chapter 2. That's the Old Testament, sixth book in the Bible, Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, and we'll begin reading verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way, which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judges, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies, all the days of the judge, for he repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Another reading over in Proverbs, please, chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I think before we finish the scripture reading, you'll get the drift of what this message is going to be about. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. The latter half of the verse said, but the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And finally, no, not finally, next one is Jeremiah 21. Jeremiah 21, reading one verse 8. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Now finally, John chapter 14. We'll begin reading John chapter 14 at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thus far for our reading tonight, and we trust that the Lord will add a blessing to the reading, a public reading of his precious word. If you haven't grasped what the message is already, I'll let you do what it is right now. Our text is Jeremiah 21:8, which said, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. The Bible tells us that all die. There's no difference. We're all going to come to that point someday in our life if the Lord be not come and take believers out of this world first. But if we remain on this earth long enough, in another 75 years or maybe less, most of the people in this hall tonight won't even exist anymore or won't be around here anymore. Proverbs 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So if we live long enough, we're going to die in this earth, and then we're going to appear before the Lord. Death does not mean cessation of all existence. Some people you talk to will say, oh well, when I die, and that's the end of it. Death doesn't mean cessation. Death only means separation. The separation of the spirit from the body. The real you from the shell that you are at this time possessing. Your body goes in the grave, and your spirit either goes to be with the Lord, or it goes into hell. We read of the rich man and Lazarus. The Lazarus died, and he went into the arms of Abraham, which portrays paradise, and the rich man died and went into hell, and he was in torment. So death, then, is not cessation, but separation. It's interesting, too, the Bible words, to always see the first mention. In this message tonight, the way of life and the way of death, we're going to deal first with the way of death, and then we're going to end on a happier note, which is the way of life. And we trust that it'll be so happy that we'll see some soul come to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Before we go any further, maybe I should ask you, how is it with your soul tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? We've just spoken of the way of life and the way of death. That's two destinies. What's your destiny right at this moment? If you had to pass from this present life, would you enter into life eternal, or would you enter into eternal condemnation, eternal judgment, separated from God for all eternity? We trust that as a message is proclaimed, and as our brother continues with the gospel tonight, that the word of God might find a resting place in your heart if you still a stranger to the grace of God. Okay, we mentioned the first mention of the word way, and it's found in Genesis 3:24. You don't have to turn to it. I can read it for you, and it says this. So he drove out the man, this is Adam, because Adam had sinned, and God wouldn't allow him to stay any longer in the Garden of Eden. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way. That's the first mention of the word way in all of the Bible. And it's interesting to notice that this first mention, cherubims always speak of divine judgment of protection for God. The seraphim always speak of worship. But here we find that the tree of life was guarded by a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. To keep the way of the tree of life. What we find here, we find the grace of God displayed. For instance, if Adam had been allowed to partake of that tree of life in his sinful state, he would live forever in that kind of a state. So God's grace was displayed by cutting off the access route to the tree of life by casting out Adam out of the garden and guarding it with the cherubims and this flaming sword. But I would see God's grace displayed. And then the next time it's mentioned, the word way, is in Genesis again, and it's in chapter 6, verse 12. Again, I'll read it to you, and it says, "And God looked down upon the earth, and behold," I like that word, behold. We read it in some of the scriptures we have tonight. When you see the word behold in the script, it always means look steadfastly, take particular notice, and let what's said, what's following, enter into your heart. They said, "And the Lord looked down upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way." There again, you see, all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, and God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me." First we had God's grace displayed, and now we have God's wrath portrayed. And this was portrayed in the flood that came upon the earth and destroyed all flesh except for 8 souls, Noah and his wife, Noah's 3 sons, and their wives too. But there we have the second mention of the word way again in Genesis. Then over into Matthew 7:13, we read of the way again, and it says, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." There's the way of death. "And many there be which go in thereat." Before I read any further, where are you tonight? Are you on this broad way that leads to destruction? One man's put it this way. It was J. Vernon McGee. Said, "It's like a funnel." He said, "You enter in at the wide gate, and it gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower until eventually you come out at the other end. That means you're when you pass from this life, you come out of that end and you enter into destruction." But it says, for the believer, it says here, it says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that found it." Again, he said, he used the same metaphor as he used before. He used the same funnel, only this time he reversed it. "And you entered in at the straight gate, and when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into this narrow gate, and the thing gets wider and wider and wider, because the longer you're saved, the more joys come into your life from the Lord, until eventually, when you pass from this life, whether it be by death, or whether it be by translation when the Lord comes, then you enter into eternal life, and it's like the funnel just burst wide open." And this is what it says here, "And God, and enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Then we read tonight, I'll just turn back to Judges where we read from tonight, and in that account there we find that God, through Joshua, kept Israel on a tight rein, and he blessed Israel because of Joshua. And it says in Joshua, one of the chapters in Joshua, that Israel had rest in the time of Joshua's reign. But here we find that when Joshua died, the men turned away from walking in God's way, and they walked in their own way. They walked after other gods. It says they went a-whoring after other gods, and they ceased not from their own doings and from their stubborn way. First they went their own way, and now God calls it a stubborn way. And this is how it is with many unbelievers tonight. They're in their own way, and they're in a very stubborn way. No matter what you say to them, what you try and talk to them, they will not shift, they will not even want to listen to the Word of God, because to what many of them is foolishness. But God said that I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. So God was going to allow other nations now to spoil Israel. When they entered into battle, the Lord wasn't going to be with them. He was going to allow many of them to be destroyed. And he was going to prove Israel this, through this method, whether they would turn and walk in the way of God or not. It was a stubborn way. Proverbs 13:15 said, the way of transgressors is hard. And believe me, all you have to do to find out that is true, read the newspapers. You pick up your newspapers, you read of crime, lawlessness, and murder, and take for instance a man that I know personally. This man, he's been a heavy drinker all his life, and in his prime of life between 20s and 30s, he never bothered him. The man's only probably 40 now at the most, I would say. And, like I say, it never bothered him. He'd go into some beer parlor or whatever, the pub in where he came from, and he'd sit there all day long, and all night long too. He'd go home, and he'd only need 2 or 3 hours sleep, and he was awake again, and the day after the same thing, and the same thing, and he got well known for his heavy drinking. Now this man is a total wreck. He is absolutely on the verge of death, we might say. Because if that man even touches alcohol, not only alcohol from a glass of beer or anything, but if he eats any food that has an alcohol base in it or anything, then the alcohol goes straight into his blood system. His liver is so bad that his filtering system is all shot, and the alcohol goes right into his system. And now this man is paying for his way of life. Like you said, the way of transgressors is hard. That same man was talking to me the other week, and here he had a couple of bandages on his wrist. I said, what have you been doing, Tommy? Oh, he said, somebody swung a glass door, he said, and I tried to stop it with my hands, and my hands went through the door, and I cut my wrist. Well, I said, I thought you'd been trying to get rid of yourself by cutting your wrist. Oh, no, I said, I wouldn't do that. Anyway, the day after, I was talking to him again, and, this time he just had a couple of little band-aids on here. And he was talking to me, then he came out with the whole story. That, in actual fact, he had cut his own wrists, and he didn't even know he'd done it. See, this man, he got off of drinking for a couple of years, and he told me those were the happiest 2 years of his life. For some reason, and I think what sparked it, a good friend of his committed suicide by jumping off a big building in Vancouver, and this really upset him, and from that, he's gone back to drinking, and he knows he can't tolerate it, and he has blackouts, and he doesn't know what he's done, and he doesn't know where he's been, or who he's talked to the night before, and like I say, he didn't even know that he's cut his wrist. But this man is going to enter into an alcoholic treatment center in the valley sometime next month, and he's going to be there for 28 days. And yet, you can't speak to him about the Lord. He knows I'm a Christian, and he respects that. But he told me, he said, I never want to hear you talking to me about the Lord. He said, I'm an atheist. He said, I'm a vowed atheist. He said, and that's as far as it goes. He said, so he said, I respect you for what you believe and how you live. He said, but I don't want to know anything about it. Well, if I can't talk to him, but yet, I can pray for him, and that's what I'm doing. Because we know that even through prayer, that God is able to reach this man. Yes, the way of transgressors is hard. There's a walking example of this verse. And you say, well, I would never do anything like that. I wouldn't go stealing. I wouldn't go murdering somebody. I wouldn't get mixed up with drugs. I wouldn't, don't believe it. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And whether you're a believer or not, it's by the grace of God, you are what you are. We all have the propensity to do evil. I looked that word up today, and that word means a bent of mind, whether natural or acquired. It's an inclination, a natural tendency or disposition, particularly to evil. So we all have the propensity to commit these crimes, and be lawless, and get into all kinds of trouble. Why? Because Isaiah 43:27 says, thy first father hath sinned. Now he's not talking about your natural father, he's talking about Adam. Because Adam sinned, we're sinners also. He says in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. And because we're sinners, we have this propensity to do evil. No matter how good, how small the evil may be, or how big it may be, we all have that nature within us that at any time we could commit these kind of heinous crimes that we read about in the paper. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And again, I'd like to just mention something we were talking about in the Bible study this morning about the preciseness of the Word of God. God doesn't mince words. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And when we look at that little verse where it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Notice it's changed from the singular to the plural. Because every man has a way which seems right. But God says, whatever your way is, your way might be different to somebody else. Probably is. Maybe there's no two ways alike. But that way seems right unto a man. But God said, the end thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah 15:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So there you have it. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 2 Peter 2 puts it this way. Second Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for sin, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. We just read Isaiah 53:6, and that verse ends up that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that was the iniquity, that was what God, what Christ bore on the sin. He bore in his own body our sins upon the tree, being dead to sin, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as a sheep going astray. See, Isaiah 53 again, all we like sheep have gone astray. First Peter says, but you were like sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Over in the next chapter of Peter, 3:18, Peter says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. In John 14, we read those lovely words, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Then in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children or the sons of God. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. So there's the two ways. Believe on the Son, and you'll have everlasting life. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's our text, right in John 5:24, the way of life and the way of death. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way of life. To reject him and to go out into eternity a lost sinner is the way of death. We trust that tonight we realize the import of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and make that decision which will take you out of death into life. Where we have the way of death and the way of life, and we trust that before you leave this place tonight, and as our brother continues the message of the gospel, that you might find the way of life, the Bible says, that few there be that find it.